Open your Bibles to the book of Galatians. In chapter 5, we've moved on. We're progressing. We are moving slightly faster than a turtle and a little bit slower than a sloth. So there you go. An announcement this morning. We probably will have a lot of visitors this morning. Hopefully, that's our prayer. So if all of the saints of God that are regular here, if you'll just move forward and take the spots that you didn't want up here in the front, so that we'll have room for our guests that come in. That's just a good piece of advice. We are in chapter 5. I'm going to read from verse 1, if you don't mind. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every one that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. Very interesting portion of scripture. So Paul is basically in Galatians laid the foundation that his gospel, the gospel that saves our soul and changes our lives, the gospel that liberates us from the consequences of sin, the gospel that frees us and saves us and delivers us from the wrath to come, he got that revelation directly from Jesus Christ. It wasn't a man-made tradition. It wasn't something that a church established or a synagogue or a religious body established. He got it directly from the Lord, and therefore we should listen to what he says. And he said, don't be preaching any other gospel. Don't preach another Jesus. Don't preach another gospel. If anyone does, even if myself comes back and begins preaching something else, let them be accursed. And he lays the foundation that you're not justified by the works of the law. Just had another opportunity. They came knocking on my door, what they call Jehovah's Witnesses. Asked me if I wanted to go to paradise. I said, you bet I do. How do I get there? And they wanted to describe to me paradise. I said, you don't have to describe it to me. Just the word is sufficient. Paradise, how do I get there? And they began this long process of telling me I've got to do my best, keep the commandments, etc. And I just asked them, I said, well, what happens if I don't do my best? And they replied, as usual, well, you got to try. What if my attempt at trying is not successful? Well, you got to try harder. Well, I don't know. You know, God didn't give 10 suggestions. He gave 10 commandments. I mean, if you're driving down the road and the police officer pulls you over and you said, well, I tried to stop, officer, it means you violated the law and therefore are guilty. So anyway, a lot of religious people want to put us under law in trying to make us do things so that we might be righteous before God. I don't know if you're honest with yourself, you realize that you don't do that, that you failed. It's better just to tell the police officer, yes, I rolled that stop sign. I should not have done that. I'm guilty. Yeah? But making excuses does not justify us. And that's the problem. We try to justify ourselves. If anyone has any children, you know perfectly well, right? They're going to come and make up all sorts of stories of why they had to eat them cookies when you told them not to. Yeah. Interesting. But notice what he says here. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free. They always ask us preachers, what is the title of your sermon? So I titled it Liberty.
Amen.
Liberty. We are free from the law. Did you know that Christ came to preach liberty? You know, one of the first times, I don't recall if it was the first time, but one of the early times that Jesus goes into the synagogue and he reads the scriptures. Do you know what he read? Anybody remember? Isaiah 61. I have it written here. He stands up and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Aren't you glad you're not in jail? But did you know there is a liberty that exists that even you, if you're sitting in a jail cell, you're free?
Amen.
Paul knew about that. Him and Silas could rejoice after they were beaten and thrown in the jail cell. And the reason that they could rejoice was they had a heavenly liberty that those their captors knew not of. And there is a freedom. I tell you what, once you realize that Jesus Christ came to set us free from the law, it is, well, excuse me, it's liberating. It's liberating. The first time that I heard, I grew up non-religious, but I had contact with religious people. I lived in a Polish community. I thought Polak was just like, hey, bro. Everybody called everybody Polaks, but come to find out, well, they were Polaks. That's why they called everybody Polaks. But anyway, I grew up in a community that was basically Roman Catholic. And so the influences of my Catholic friends was basically good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. It sounded logical to me. Therefore, I concluded, I guess I'm not going to heaven. And when the catechist came around to the neighborhood and actually taught us the Ten Commandments, and my first thought was only 10, maybe I got a chance, only 10. And then I read, or we learned the Ten Commandments, just like these young people are learning verses of the Bible. I learned the Ten Commandments, and I realized I am in big time trouble. At 12 years old, I realized I'm in big time trouble. I've already broken all of these. Yeah. What are you going to do? If you have to get to heaven by keeping the commandments, are you going to make it? And remember, God knows everything. We can all deceive our mothers, and our mothers are half deceived anyway. They always say we're good little boys, even when the teacher knows we're not, the neighbor knows we're not, the people we deal with know we're not, but mom always says, oh, you're a good little boy. So she's got rose-colored glasses on. When God judges us, he's not gonna have rose-colored glasses. He's gonna judge us by the law of God. And we're all guilty. And when I heard the good news, I remember the young lady that witnessed to me, she pulled out a little New Testament from her purse, and she went through the verses on we're sinners. And I said, Gwen, I already know I'm a sinner. You don't have to convince me. I know I'm a sinner. Some people you have to convince. They really think they're pretty good people. But you didn't have to convince me that I was a sinner. I knew I was a bad little boy, and I wasn't a good little boy, despite the refrains of my mother. But when she got to that point in the book of Romans where Christ died for the ungodly, my ears perked up. I want to hear more about this, that Christ died for sinners. That seems to me like good news. Tell me more about that. And she told me that Christ paid the penalty for my sins, that I was deserving to go to hell, but Christ paid for it, and he liberated me from the condemnation that comes from breaking and violating the law of God. That was good news. And when she pointed to my favorite verse, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and I'm going, wow. I didn't have religious vocabulary back then. I guess if I had religious vocabulary, I would have said, amen, praise the Lord. But back then I just said, wow. Wow. You mean I can be saved? Yes, you can be saved. But you don't know what I've done. But Christ died for all your sins. Wow. And I went home and called on the Lord. Liberating. Liberating. Christ has set me free. There's another verse. He says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. Jesus said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Have you been freed by the Son of God? Have you been liberated from the law of condemnation? Have you been set free from the bondage of your sin? What an amazing thing to know Christ. Some people jump from the law to religion, and all that is whited sepulchers. That's all that is. You need Christ. It's Christ that sets us free. And Paul says, in light of the fact of what we dealt with, what he dealt with in chapter 3 and chapter 4, he says, therefore, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. He tells us to stand fast. Do you know what it means to stand fast? Stand fast. Don't move. Hold your ground. Remain firm. Be resolute. Don't yield. Don't retreat. Don't change your position. Don't give in. Don't give in to pressure. Don't give in to opposition. Don't give in to difficulties. Don't waver. Hold on. Why? Because religious people are going to come up to you just as they did here in Galatians, and they're going to try to take your liberty. They're going to try to put them shackles back on you and put you in bondage and tell you that you have to be circumcised. You've got to watch what you eat. You've got to keep the Sabbath day, and they will lay the law on you. In this particular case in Galatians, they were trying to tell these believers, you're not really saved unless you're circumcised. And brethren, there are people in this world that will come to you no sooner that you get saved and start telling you things that you gotta do. Yeah? If you don't do this, you're not really saved. If you're not a member of our religion, you're not saved. If you're not a member of our church, you're not saved. If you don't do the things that we do, you're not saved. And they will lay the law on you and trample over the freedom that Christ gave us. And he says, stand fast therefore. You know, he says that several times in the Bible. I just wrote down a few. Do you remember when he said, watch ye stand fast in the faith? Do you remember that? Stand fast. Don't yield. Hold on to that faith. In another place he says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or epistle. Don't be changing all the time. Hold on to the word of God that God gave us. Hold on to the promises that Christ gave you. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. What a blessing that is. He says, and let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We ought to stand fast in these things. Too many people end up compromising. When I worked at Wells Fargo, they taught us some things about having difficult conversations. Especially when you had to evaluate people. You had to go to them and have a difficult, that means there was conflict. Nobody likes conflict. And a lot of times people will just surrender rather than face the conflict. Paul is saying, don't surrender on this point. You've been set free by Christ himself. Don't surrender to this. You are not under the law. You have been set free. Christ has paid your debts. Amen. Yeah. And what does the verse say? Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. What have we been liberated from? I wrote some things down. The first thing comes to mind. We have been liberated and set free from the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death. And death and hell will be cast in a lake of fire where people will be tormented day and night for never and ever. That's a terrible thing. Did you know sin is terrible? I know the devil will paint it very, like it's a beautiful thing. And he will convince you there's pleasure in it. And certainly there is pleasure in sin. But as the Bible says, it's only for a season. It will last right up to that point before you stand before an almighty God and ask you if you're righteous or not. And then woe be to us. Liberated from the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death. Listen to what he says in Romans 8. This is a great verse, by the way. You ought to look it up. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation? No condemnation? Did you know religion will condemn you? Did you know the law will condemn you? Did you know the law was actually given to condemn you, to show you what a rotten person you are? It's almost comical for me, those gentlemen from the Watchtower Society knocking on the door on Saturday. They said, well, you seem like a good man. I said, you don't know my heart. Appearances are deceiving. If we peel back the recesses of your heart, what would we see? You know, on Sunday morning, we all dress up. Yeah? Amen. We put on our Sunday clothing. Amen. We put on our Sunday attitude. We go to church and we put an appearance of we're really good. But if people actually saw us on Saturday night like we really are, then what?
Amen.
What if we could see what you really thought? It would be terrible, right?
Amen.
Did you know God sees all that?
Yes.
So why do you think you're good? I asked those gentlemen, I said, you know what? Jesus said there's none good. No, not one. And he asked the question, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. Of course, they just resorted, well, we have to try to be good. I said, my friend, we just went around and around in a circle. It was like them gerbils in a cage. They just go round and around and around. I said, look, sirs, being good, trying to be good is not the same thing as saying,
amen,
I am good.
Amen.
And if you're good, you don't need God. Actually, Paul actually mentions that here. He says, look down at verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. And he says something similar again. He says, verse 4, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. My friend, if you try to justify yourself because of the religious things that you do before God, you've fallen from grace. There's no way that you're going to make it. Because God not only knows what you do, he knows what you didn't do. And he knows the attitude you had when you did it.
Amen.
Did you know God expects you to have a good attitude?
Amen.
When you give, I know how we are. We squeeze the penny and make Mr. Lincoln cry. We squeeze him so hard. He's crying and we finally put it into the plate, you know. And we didn't want to give, but we felt the pressure. So we go ahead and give. God says, I'm not happy with that. I'm looking for a cheerful giver.
Amen.
Yeah, you come to church, but why did you come to church? Because your wife made you. She pulled your ear and made you come to church. Yeah? The kids are going to be here. We got to go. And so you came to church. People do that all the time. Did you know God's not going to be happy with that?
Amen.
It is not sufficient to pretend you love your neighbor. You have to love your neighbor. It's not sufficient to give motions of loving God. You have to love God. And that's the problem with all. But, as I said, we have been freed from the penalty of sin. I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
Look in Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. There's something else we've been liberated from. We've been freed from. We probably should read all of chapter 6, but for time's sake, verse 14, he says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. And there are other things that we are dead to the law. We have been set free from sin. We are not under the bondage of sin. Did you know you don't have to sin in Christ?
Amen.
You don't have to. You're not under bondage. You've been set free. I was reading an article one time. It is amazing how many criminals that get out of prison, when they face liberty and responsibility, that they want to go back. They actually want to go back, and they will actually commit crimes so that they go back because they don't know any other life. It's kind of like the Israelites, taken out of Egypt, given freedom. They're going across the desert. They're going towards the promised land, and they want to go back. Isn't that amazing? You've been set free. Why do you want to go back? We've been set free from the power of sin. We have been set free from the curse and the bondage of the law. We talked about this when we were in chapter 3. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, and Christ hung on the tree for us. We're no longer cursed. What a blessing. We are free from religious legalism.
Yes, sir.
I hope you're free. Question, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? A lot of Christians have difficulties with this, because other Christians or false brethren will come in and try to lay bondage on us. I can remember as a young man, the big thing was a haircut. If your hair touched your ear, you were a terrible sinner. And I'm looking around here and I see some terrible sinners here. Aren't you glad that's not the law? But that was preached on about every Sunday I went to church. You long-haired hippies. Yeah? How about keeping the Sabbath day? Have you ever met anybody? I've had them walk into our meetings and tell us that we're antichrist because we meet on Sunday and not on Saturday. Have you ever met anybody try to put you under the thumb, try to put you under law? Brethren, we have been liberated. You do not begin. Let me tell you something. Christ gave you his righteousness.
Yeah.
Therefore, in the eyes of God, if you have been born again, if you have trusted Christ, if you had a wow moment in your life and realized that Christ died for your sins, he paid for them, and you could be saved, delivered from the wrath to come, have eternal life, given the Spirit of God by calling upon the name of the Lord, if that's happened to you, my friend, guess what? You are absolutely righteous in the eyes of God. Now, we doubt that. Because we look in the mirror and we see, boy, I'm not very righteous.
Amen.
But if you're in Christ, then what God's looking at is Christ's righteousness.
You,
let me tell you something else, brothers and sisters. You are not going to get any more righteous than the day you got saved.
Amen.
Because your righteousness is not dependent upon you. Your righteousness is in Christ.
Amen.
Paul said Christ is our righteousness. I was saved over 50 years ago, 1974, December. Somebody got a calculator? 52 years, I think. Don't hold me to the number. I'm trying to think of other things right now. But some 52 years ago, I got saved. I was made absolutely righteous in the eyes of God.
Amen.
Guess what? I'm still absolutely righteous in the eyes of God.
Amen.
Why? Because Christ is my righteousness. Religion, you name the religion, I don't care. You can take your preferred, you can take your mother's religion, or your grandfather's religion, or your nation's religion. Doesn't matter to me. Whatever religion, whatever it may be, whatever name you put upon it, religion will tell you, you have to prove yourself righteous. And what that will do will make you a hypocrite. Because you will pretend you're righteous on Sunday morning, but on Saturday night you're different. In Poland, they used to have this saying. I'm going to say it in Polish and then I'll translate it the best I can. Kwanajon się przed figurą i mają diabła za skórą. Literally translated, it means they bow before the image, but they got the devil on their back. Yeah? Amen. They give you a picture of piety, but they're full of the devil. The devil's in their skin.
Amen.
That's what religion will do you. But Christ, on the other hand, will give you complete liberty and free you from the bondage of sin and give you His righteousness. Amen. And that is salvation. Amen. Religion will say you have to work your way to heaven. The Bible says in the good news, the gospel, that Christ gives us as a gift His righteousness. Amen. It is the difference between a gift and a wage. How many of you work? Every day, right? You gotta get up whether you want to or not, and off you go to work. You force yourself, you go to work because you like to eat, and you know you have to work. That's bondage. That's bondage. You're not free. You're not free. You have to go to work. If you want to eat, you have to go to work. Did you know that Christ fed the multitudes freely? Did you know that He offers us the bread of life freely? Did you know that He offers us everlasting waters freely? There's the difference. Religion will make you work for it. Christ says, here it is. I've already done it all.
Thank you, Lord.
What are you trusting? If you trust yourself, God will judge you by yourself and you're going to be condemned. You're going to come way short of the righteousness of Christ. Look at another thing, Galatians chapter 4. We went over this one. We were in the last chapter, but well worth reading again. Chapter 4, verse 9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Did you hear the point that I made that we are absolutely righteous in the righteousness of Christ?
Amen.
It's not in us. It wasn't in us when we got saved. It's still not in us after we've been saved for 52 years. And the problem that you and I have is we believe the lies of the devil. We try to go back into bondage when we should walk freely in the Spirit of Christ. And we try to justify ourselves by our deeds. Did you know you are not a better Christian because you come to church? You are not a better Christian because you read the Bible, and I believe you ought to come to church, you ought to read your Bible. You're not better than another person because you do certain things that they don't do. Your betterment or your righteousness, again, is in Christ, not ourselves. Not what we do, but what He did. And lastly, we are liberated and free to serve God and others. You know, I was reading about different people that have experienced time in jail, and the amount of people that have been in jail for a long time, how they long to go back. Because their lives were ordered. They're going to eat at a certain time every day. They're going to do these things. And this liberty and this responsibility outside, they just couldn't handle it. It was shocking to me to read that, but interesting. But many people have the wrong impression that if we're liberated in Christ and we're no longer under the law, now we can go out and do all these evil things and be happy. That's not what He's saying. We are liberated to serve God and others. Look what He says in this same chapter, down in verse 13. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. When you're sitting in a jail cell on Father's Day, you can't help your children. When you're sitting in a jail cell, you don't have liberty, you can't help your wife. You can't help your neighbor. You can't help your cousin. There's not much you can do. You're stuck in a jail cell. When you're set free, you can do something for your children. You can do something for your wife. You can't do that under bondage. Peter said the same thing, 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul says this, "But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." Yes, we are free. Free to what? Sin? No. Free to what? Love our neighbor. Love God. Serve others. Yeah? I'm free from trying to earn my own righteousness. I'm free from the law of condemnation. I'm free to serve Christ through love and the Spirit. That's the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. Not forced obedience, but willing and desired change. Let me try to give you an example about the difference between being under law and being free in Christ. I started to give one example with giving. Many people think that you are bound to give a tithe. No, a tithe is 10% of what you make. All of you that you work, you make a certain wage, yeah? Under a tithe, under the law of a tithe, you gotta give 10%. And I've been places where the deacons will come and visit you at the end of every month to collect their tithe. They know how much you make, and they're expecting a check for 10% of that. Yeah? Gross. Not net. They want gross. And people do. They fill it out. They're under bondage. They feel like that. Then they give 10%. Because they what? They have to. Jesus, on the other hand, he says he loves a cheerful giver.
Amen.
And you'll notice nobody's going to pass a plate around here. There's no plate going to go in front of you. Nobody's going to pass a hat. You have an opportunity to give if you want to. There's a box back there. It's got a slot in it. And if you really want to give, you really desire to give, you have about 10 minutes after the service to give. Somebody says, well, why do you do it that way? Because we want people to give cheerfully because they want to, not because they have to. Did you know you could come to this church and never give a dime?
Amen.
If you don't want to, don't give a dime. Yeah. Because we're not looking for your money. We're looking for your heart. We're trying to change your heart. But what we know is if you have God in your heart and you have Christ in your heart, you learn to give freely as he gave freely. And there is a difference between giving because you have to and giving because you want to. Yeah. How many like paying taxes? Don't you just enjoy that? You just love paying taxes. I need to make more money so I can pay more taxes. Yeah. Nobody loves that. Man, you get a new job and you think, man, they told me I was going to make this much money. And you get your check and it's about half that. What happened? Taxes. Mandatory. Wouldn't it be wonderful the government says, if you want to give, give. If you don't, don't. Those that love the United States of America would give freely.
Amen.
Those that don't love the United States of America would just keep their money. Yeah. Do you see the difference? Do you know how easy it is to give to your wife? Maybe I shouldn't use that example because let me back up and think if I can think of it comes time for your child's birthday and you just want to give him something, right? And you go out and you're excited about giving this present. That's because you want to do that cheerfully. You're not made to do it. Yeah. Slaves obey because they are forced to through fear and punishment. Sons obey because they love their father and desire to please the father.
Yeah.
We as Christians that have been born again, God has become our Father, and we have a desire within us to please our Father. Paul said it this way, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. To be liberated in Christ means to be accepted by God, blessed on Christ's finished work, not our performance. Empowered by the Holy Spirit to live a new life. What a blessing it is. Did you know when I got saved, and I'm sure there's a lot of testimonies here, I had a desire to read the Bible afterwards. Never in my lifetime did I think about reading the Bible. But after I got saved, I wanted to read the Bible. Do you know what else? My friends, my Catholic friends and my other friends, they actually invited me to church. I had no interest to go to church. Not one inch. But when I got saved, suddenly I wanted to go to church. Did you know what? I had no desire before knowing Christ to talk to you about Christ. I didn't want to talk about God, didn't want to talk about religion, was not in my thoughts. But after I got saved, I had this burning desire to tell other people about my wow experience. To tell them that Christ came to save sinners. What happened? The Spirit of God came in me. My life was transformed because of Christ, and that is salvation.
Amen.
We're released, liberated from the guilt, shame, and the impossible burden of earning salvation. If you really had to earn salvation, you know what a burden that is? Maybe some of you this morning, you're burdened about it. I don't know if I'm good enough. I don't know if I've done enough. Oh, I got to do more. And you're just under bondage all the days. And then if somebody asks you, are you saved? And you respond, well, I hope I will be. I surely want to. Well, I'm trying. That's, again, those gentlemen that came to the door. Are you saved? We're trying. I said, what you're telling me is you're going to be laboring all your life and you're still not going to know whether you're going to heaven or not. Or in their case, paradise. I told them, I said, I would rather know. Tell me, am I going or am I not going? I want to know beforehand. I don't want to show up at the door and he says, I never knew you. Depart from me. I want to know. Is there a promise that I can know? I just really feel for religious people under the yoke of religion. Our faith is this, that Christ has called us onto freedom to love God and to love our neighbor. Now you can ask your wife. You can ask your wife this. Honey, do you want me to love you because I want to or because I have to? Do you want me to love you because I have to or because I want to? Ask your kids or as a parent. How many are parents here? Do you want your children to take out the trash because they have to or because they want to? Now, you probably have some sort of disciplinary measures to make sure they get the trash out. But let me tell you what a joy it is when a father sees their child that comes up and says, hey, Dad, I see the trash needs to be taken out. Can I take it out? Whereas, Sonny, get over here and get that trash out. Tell me, fathers, which do you prefer? The former, right? We prefer the son saying, hey, I want to take out the trash for you. Hey, Mom, can I do these dishes? And we go in and pick her up off the floor and say, honey, come on, are you all right? Yeah. Do you think that God wants us to serve him because we have to or because we want to?
Amen.
What I found that when I became a Christian, when I was saved, my wanter changed.
Amen.
I did not want to go get drunk anymore. I did not want to run around with my friends in the middle of the night doing things that I would be embarrassed to even mention to you here today. My wanter changed. I wanted to read the Bible. I wanted to go to church. I wanted to do the right thing. Yes, I failed many times, but my wanter didn't change. I still wanted to do the right thing.
Amen.
And this is what this chapter is about, and Paul is going to give us some insight next week. Well, you can read it before then. The rest of the chapter, he's going to talk about walking in the Spirit. And that is the endeavor of every Christian, is to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, because we are a new man in Christ Jesus. All right, we're going to take a break, and afterwards we're going to have the Vacation Bible School children and Entourage present something, and then we'll have some preaching, but we'll take a break right now. May the Lord richly bless you.